tonight about that truth, about the simple truth of God's Word, that faith in God is the key to your walk. You've heard this before. We've heard it many times. I wasn't hearing it last week, and haven't listened to the tape, so I don't know if you heard it last week. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. You know, it's amazing what a little faith in God can do. Even a little. Somebody once said, if you can't have faith, trust. Somebody else once said, if you can't trust, hope. Somebody else said, if you can't have hope, just stand still. Wait on the Lord. He'll renew your strength. Don't go any place. Rest in God. The mighty truth there. If we look at the life of Abraham, many people think, everybody thinks, I guess, Abraham, mighty man of faith. But if you count the works of faith, just about number them on your one hand that were accomplished in Abraham's life. But they were key works. Becoming the father of a multitude through the seed, Jesus Christ. The promised seed. But it doesn't look like a lot of flabbergasting things happening in Abraham's life. He gets stuck in the mire of Egypt, and he doesn't accomplish what the natural mind might think needed to be accomplished in his lifetime in order to fulfill the promises of God to him. You would be sure, you'd think, in your natural mind that he would have to at least build a fort at each corner of that country and set up some kind of semi-government to hold on to that land that God had promised him. But the closest thing he came to making a claim on that country was burying his dead relatives there. And the people that leased or gave him the land, probably, who knows, they may even have thought that they could get it back later after all of them were dead and gone. It wasn't a very permanent-looking thing in the natural. But there was a God in heaven that made it a permanent thing, that made it an eternal work, that made it a powerful work. God wants you to see with eyes of the Spirit. He wants you to understand his heart and mind. He wants you to be like Abraham, a man of faith. Let's read here. If you look in chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham. What is faith? Faith that Abraham had is his response to God. If you put a plant in water that's wilted, you know, and you want it to come back to get strength, when that plant straightens up, the botanists call it turgor and turgidity, when that thing gets strong again, you know what that was? That was that plant's response to that life-giving water. That plant responded, and it was made strong. And that's exactly what Abraham, that's where he left. It was by faith Abraham when he was called to go out. He went. It was his human personality responding to the Spirit of God, just like that plant responds to that water. Now, if you put a plant in water that's wilted and it doesn't respond, what do you think about the plant? Either you think it's dead or you think it's dying, right? One of the two. If you put your life in the Word of God, and in the truth of God, and it doesn't respond, then what do you think about the spiritual life? Well, it's either dead or it's dying, right? But if you find that your plant responds, like that wilted philodendron or whatever you got there that you're working on in your imagination, the way that that plant responds is the same way your spirit responds to God through His Word and through His promises. It's the same way you respond when somebody gives you some money. You know that that is legal tender and that it has power to do something for you. Now, you might be sitting around looking at your bare cupboard, worrying about the fact that you won't have enough gas to get to work each day of the week, so you won't won't go anyplace. You have to walk to the store to get groceries if you got any money left. But when somebody gives you some money, all of a sudden there's some activity around that house. You're going and putting $5 more dollars in the checking account, or 10 more, or whatever, and you're making some, there's some activity going on. You're paying some bills. You're calling up the phone company and asking them to give you 5 more days, or whatever. And so you're working on the faith that thing is powerful to do something, right? Just like the plant in the water. Now, the automatic response of that plant is to get stronger. There's any life left in it. Straighten up. Okay, so that's what Abraham did. He automatically responded to God like any normal human being should. You get that? That's the simplest thing. It's what you're made to do. That truth of God's love and God's spirit and God's word, it's just the automatic response of this person to obey and do exactly what he asked, because not just obey, but you know that he's giving you that heavenly reward. Now, you say, how can that be? That sounds crazy. Well, the only reason it sounds crazy if it does is because you've been filled with doubt and distrust by what you see in this life. Now, if you hadn't watched TV so much, you probably wouldn't be in such bad shape. Now, let's say that your 5-year-old child hasn't watched maybe more than about 3 or 4 hours of it in his life. He's got an awful lot of automatic trust in daddy and mom. The house, he knows they're going to give him a place to live. He knows that they're going to feed him. He knows that he's going to have water to drink when he needs water to drink. He knows if he's cold, mommy will remind him to put on his coat even if he doesn't want to put it on. He knows that somebody's going to be there to help him get his sleep at night. He knows that there's an adult in the house when he's sleeping. He doesn't have anything to worry about. There is a trust building in him that he knows that mommy and daddy are going to take care of him. And that trust that is being built in you as a child is the very same trust I want you to transfer to him. That's all it takes. Now, you might not have felt like you were trusting your mom and dad very much when you were 5. Maybe you did, but not all people felt like they were. They were just growing up under their roof. They didn't realize how much confidence they had in their mother and dad. After they got out of the nest, they might have understood it a little bit more. And that's kind of the way we are with the Lord. We don't see how much we really are trusting him and how much we really are automatically in our inner man responding to what he's told us and yielding to it. You know what a trouble it is for little kids that are worrisome for parents. So we don't want to be worrisome little kids. So let's read some more about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. He didn't know what he was doing. Do you? Lots of times we don't, do we? Lots of times we really feel like we don't know exactly what we're doing. Now, he knew he was inheriting a land, and we know about that much sometimes, too. We know we're going to heaven. We know we're inheriting these promises. But the how seems to be a big gap. There seems to be a big gap between what he's told us and how it's going to happen. Abraham's whole life was spent in this sojourn. No wonder they sing that song, Faith of Our Fathers. That's what Abraham, he was our father. Now, God wants you to have the same kind of faith. The whole time you're down here in this life, you are not going to very likely be privileged to see heaven. Now, in your spiritual man, you're experiencing, and so was Abraham. In his life, he wasn't very likely to see that land actually belonging to him alone. But it was in the faith of Abraham, and he looked over that land, and God said, this is yours, and he could look on it, he could see it. And that's kind of like Abraham having it actually, and Abraham seeing it and walking in it, you know, and sojourning there as a vagabond, so to speak. Rich one, though. That man, him looking at that land but not having it is like you experiencing it in the spirit but not being there physically yet. You can look at it in the spirit, amazingly. Just like Abraham, it's just practically the same analogy. Like his eyes could look and see the land, but he didn't own it all. And you in your spirit can somehow see that heavenly thing, that heavenly place, that heavenly spirit, that heavenly joy within. You can see it somehow. That's the best word to use, I guess. It's the closest thing. You can experience it because of the Holy Ghost within you. And so you're in the same place he was. You're looking over that land. Now, sometimes when Abraham looked, he didn't see just, you know, beautiful groves of oranges and pomegranates and everything well kept, did he? He saw woods and he saw kind of scrubby brush here and there and some dry places and some maybe some water erosion here and there from the streams coming down too fast and once in a while and then drying up during the summer. And so with you, you don't see everything. It's not all fantastic because you're all... See, he wasn't able to own it yet. And so us now, we are looking at it, and we're seeing some negative aspects, maybe, of this how, you know, of how to get it, of waiting on this inheritance. But he held on. He didn't let go. Through faith, it says, by faith he sojourned. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we've got to plug in. We've got to plug into these truths. When I first got spirit-filled, I used to grimace and squirm every time they preached on faith. Because I had so much trouble with that word faith. Because I had so much doubt. And it bothered me. And I used to think, why don't they just teach on trust or something like that? It seemed easier to handle. But all trust is faith, really. I was a baby, I guess. That's what I needed. But God wants you to understand, you've got to plug in. We need to grow up and be men and face these eternal verities square in the face. How rich are you tonight? How rich are you? How much faith do you have in the bank of heaven? It's a shame to even have to compare it to thousands of dollars. It doesn't seem to pick up what we want to say. Are you putting shekels in your heavenly piggy bank? Are you exercising faith in God on a day-to-day basis on the level of your, so to speak, income spiritually? Is your outgo like your income? How much has God given you? Not just how much have you been taught, but how much have you, you know, gotten? What have you gotten? What do you know for sure? Where are you at? What have you gotten a hold of and you know it? Well, that has got to be reinvested. It's a hard thing to come into a service and worship and praise God if you haven't been here and there putting another little bit of praise and worship and faith into your, so to speak, piggy bank. A lot of people think that there's some pretty important doctrinal truths in the Word of God that if you don't have, you're not going to make it to heaven. But this one is really important. If you don't have faith, you ain't got nothing. You don't have anything. Now, if you think you don't have faith tonight, relax. I'm pretty sure you've got quite a bit. You wouldn't be here. But you've got to give it to God. have some faculties. I don't know if I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. One of the most important God-given faculties you have is the faculty of speech. And one of the quickest and most efficient, that takes the less interest, so to speak, spiritually, ways to give your faith to God is praising Him and offering the fruit of your lips, which is praise and worship unto God. Now, you can go the other way, of course, and become automatic. It has to be tied with the spirit within. You can only consider this praising as a vehicle. And it will not be worth any more than how much you're pouring through it in the spirit. And I didn't mean volume or diaphragm. I mean how much meaning, how much heart, how much surrender, how much worship, how much joy, how much glory, how much peace, how much fulfillment, how much satisfaction, how much surrender again. How much of these things are being expressed when you say praise the Lord? Are those emotions, are those responses going out through those words? And on the other side, are you even opening your mouth? Admittedly, we can get a lot done in our mind. But something happens to us when we worship God, at least audibly to our own ear. That's only about 5 inches away. We ought to be able to do that. We don't necessarily want to make a big show and let everybody else hear us. But there's a place even where you realize that your pride is making you want to be quiet, not your humility. It's a funny place to get, because you really get embarrassed sometimes standing up there shouting your head off. But the Spirit of the Lord draws you because you've got so much joy and victory in your soul. You just can't help but worship Him and praise Him. Now, many times during the day, I find myself in my heart, not out loud, praising the Lord. And when I do, I don't always do it in ways that would sound pretty outwardly. That's my private place with God. Nobody else can come there. Never will. It's a secret how I worship the Lord inside. It's a secret with you, too. But that feeds me. That keeps me up. That keeps me buoyed up in the Spirit. It gives me some money spiritually, so to speak. Like the Monopoly game when they dish out all the paper at the start. And you know how it feels when you're losing Monopoly. Well, let's watch it. Let's learn. We're not in competition against each other. Thank the Lord. We can pray for each other and move up in these things. So what did he do? It says in verse 10, for he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that doesn't mean you're supposed to sit around all day daydreaming about what your palace is going to look like in heaven. He wants you to get a hold intellectually of these concepts. He's talking about his own spirit in you. You are the building, not just your body. Good grief. If that was all it was, what a sad situation. If you realize that your shouting and the outward noise is just your body making noise, he's talking about your personality being the temple of his Holy Ghost. He's talking about a tent. He's talking about something that can be enlarged when the inhabitants multiply. And that's what you're like. Your personality, not your body, that can't enlarge. Too much, anyway. I'm
I'm being tempted to say something off the subject. Okay, I'll shut up. Your personality has got to be enlarged. You have got to begin to allow the tent pegs to be moved. And it isn't just your personality, it's your spirit too. That can grow up, get big, like Daddy. The Spirit of the Lord wants us to learn these things. So, understand that you are like the people escaping from the German prison camp. Nothing was happening on the outside, but underneath they were digging that tunnel to get out outside of that wall. And so with you, outside maybe nobody's seen anything different. He's still got that dumb idiosyncrasy that every time he, you know, da-da-da-da-da, he da-da-da-da-da. But deep within you, there's a, so to speak, subterranean caverns opening up, full of light, full of glory, full of joy, full of peace, full of faith, reserves, deep, deep, deep wells, without which you will not inherit the promises. It's kind of like there's a certain income level you're going to get to a certain tax bracket, so to speak. Where the, like, let's say it was income tax where only the poorest got taxed. And if you got up above a certain income tax, a certain income level, you didn't have any more income tax. Well, that's what it's like in the Spirit of God. The higher you go in the Spirit, the deeper your spiritual man experiences the Lord. The more time you wait upon Him alone within your heart and soul, the higher you go and the less pull there is of the flesh man, and the more strength you have to do God's bidding. God's calling us. But He doesn't want us to get weary in our natural ears and brains when we hear those words, God's calling us. He doesn't want you to be like I was in the sixth grade when they said, okay, it's time for P.E. I hated P.E. I couldn't stand it. God doesn't want us to have that kind of an ear. He wants us to realize that inside us there's a fantastic basketball player just waiting to be released. Remember that. He's talking to your spirit that has no weariness of the flesh to battle it. It has no limit to experiencing God's love and God's power. It doesn't have to pay any bills. Really. It doesn't have to eat. It doesn't have to drink water. It doesn't have to do anything your flesh has to do to get along. It's completely free to do nothing but exactly what the Spirit of the Lord wants it to do, which it just loves to do. It just adores it. Did you know you have that inside of you? Let's go on here. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to do what? To conceive seed. And that is a close analogy to what it's like for you and I to become spiritual men and women of God. We are receiving strength to be born of God within, to bring forth not just other souls, but to, a new being is being made inside of you. It's almost like this life you're in is a womb to what you're going to be spiritually when you get into heaven. And the amount of faith you have in Christ is directly, you know, related to what kind of a person you're going to be in the Spirit of God in the heavenlies forever. Therefore, sprang there even of one. Now, I missed some here. Received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And you are past age in the flesh. And I don't mean you're too old in the flesh. I mean your flesh is so dead in trespasses and sins. It is way past being able to do anything for God. The total, that is exactly what that's talking about. That's exactly what it's talking about. It's talking about your flesh being so dead in sin that you can't lift a finger to get towards what God wants you to do in yourself. But, what's it say? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. What did she have to do? Nothing but the normal course of life between a man and his wife and wait. That's all she did. It didn't take anything past what any human being has the power to do. And that's where we're at. God doesn't say, okay, son, for your first assignment, I'd like you to learn how to fly over the Tacoma Narrows. I'm not saying that, you know, if that was God's will, you couldn't do it. But God is expecting you to do things that are directly related to this life, but to have faith in the midst of them, and then to see the glory of God manifested in the promise of God brought forth. Therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead. He couldn't do a thing. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And he didn't see it. All he saw was a few of them, a few of those souls. One more scripture in Jude. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. Scripture I'm using tonight to challenge you. If you're somebody who is down and full of doubt, you are somebody who needs the therapy that this scripture is talking about. If you are up, that is a good time to remember that there's a lot of other things to pray for besides yourself. And it's a good time to pray for others when you're super down, if you can muster the strength, because lots of times you get out of it a lot quicker than if you try to pray yourself out of it. But if you are what you might call spiritually quite ill, get a hold of this and start practicing it. Privately, pray in the Spirit. It says here in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I know there are different interpretations of this verse, but it's still true that you do have the ability to pray in tongues. And even if this verse doesn't apply to that, 1 Corinthians 14 has some that do. He that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So if you're in a state, and there are many that have areas where they are groping, dying, weak, empty, faltering, start practicing that in your private prayer life. Now don't go way overboard if you don't ever pray in English. Pray in English a lot. But you need to give yourself strength in the inner man. You need to be built up inside. You need to start holding on to God within. It's a secret. Nobody else can see it. Just you and Jesus. But it comes out. People say, my, that person is stabilizing. What's happening in their life? They're beginning to get a hold of the strength of God. They're beginning to walk in His power and not their own power and their own strength. So I challenge you tonight. If you can't find the time with others to pray, pray alone. If you can't find the time to pray alone, pray with others. Get a hold of the Lord. Amen. Seek His face. Evermore, it says. Evermore. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Never let go of His hand. Praise the Lord.